Well, hello again, my brothers and sisters. This is Brother Thurman with the ABCs of Christian Growth. I welcome you today and thank you for joining in and honoring the Lord and studying His Word. And that's indeed what we're going to do. I was just looking over the past, just as we started this lesson, this letter L, 2, entitled Life. And we've been studying life, I think, for the past, 10 lessons or so. I'm not real sure, but I think it's been about 10. But, you know, one thing that's good about this lesson, and I'm not saying putting anything on me at all, but one thing that the Lord has taught me, and I'm sure He's taught you, and the reason that you're listening to this, is to find out what God's Word says. And that's what we've been doing. I've been looking at this since we started, and we've been about 10 lessons into this, and we got almost 140 verses that we've been over, and that's just going to 140 different books, you know, one by one. Whenever we would look up a scripture, we would go, we've been 140 times. Now, there could have been anywhere from 1 to 20 verses that we read in that one verse, but as far as us studying the scripture, we are. And that's a good thing. That's well-pleasing unto the Lord. The Lord said that those that honor His word, He will honor in return, and He does. And I pray that you've been blessed, and I know that you have. If you know the Lord Jesus Christ, you have. I pray that this craziness in the world is not getting close to you. I hope that you just, excuse me, I cleaned my voice out there for you. I hope that you just don't worry about all this stuff that's going on in the world today. By the time this you get to this lesson right here, I don't know when it's going to be, or today is July the 15th, I think, of 2020, and around the second lap of this coronavirus that's going out, and you know that don't bother me a bit. Don't bother me a bit. I know exactly what's going on in the world, don't you? If you know anything about your Bible, you ain't got any questions about it. You might not know exactly how the Lord's doing it and what's on His mind, but I can look out there and I can see the Lord's hand everywhere, can't you? You should be able to if you're a Christian and you know God's Word, or at least you're familiar with God's Word and God's character. He's had enough. He's had enough. Now, whether He's letting the devil do it all, it looks like the devil's business out there to me, but whether He's letting the devil do it and He's sitting back and letting and not holding the devil back anymore and letting him go do everything, then that's one thing. Or whether He's doing it Himself, what does it matter? We are sons and daughters of the King. We're sons of God. We're children of God. We're in the body of Christ, and we have nothing to worry about. We know where our home is. Now, if we got to bunker down and stay away from this bug, that's fine. Go ahead and do it. If you got to change things around your house and just start slowing down on what you've been the status that you've been living or whatever, who cares? The Lord said for us to condescend to men of low estate anyway, didn't He? So that's what we should do. We don't want what the world wants. And you know, the very first thing when this thing started out, they run to toilet paper. That was their God. Everybody run to toilet paper. And there's so much craziness going on. They're burning the place down everywhere. People are going nuts. The racism's going all crazy, and it don't even mean what they're saying it means. People are shooting everybody everywhere. I mean, the Lord's taking His hand off of it somewhere, hadn't He? Because the Lord's showing everybody not what He can do, but what humankind can do without Him holding back all that sin problem and the wickedness of it. So don't you worry. You just keep on studying God's Word, and if you're not studying here, you study somewhere, and you get the Word of God in you and keep it in you and think of the Lord all day long, and let's just wait for His coming, because Jesus is coming. That's the next thing to happen, and it ain't far off, folks, and that's the main teaching or doctrine in the Scriptures. It talks more about the Lord's second coming than it does anything else in the Scriptures. And that's what we're supposed to be waiting on. But we get out of here way before the Lord comes back here to settle the score with this world. He's going to come get us first, the rapture. So that's what we're to be looking for. So let's get into God's Word today and study some. We're studying about life, and just to recap a little on the highlights of what we've been talking about, that life is a funny thing, isn't it? We haven't defined life as getting it all the way down to a root definition of what is life, but we've seen where the Bible talks about life all over the place. That is a book of life. But when we get to the end of it and we say, what is life? We hadn't come up with that yet, have we? But that's okay. And maybe we won't. Or maybe we're going to find out something entirely different than we thought. We'll see. But we've talked about, the Bible talks about all kinds of different kinds of life, all of it being one. Life. All of it's named life. We talked about some of man's definitions of life, if you remember. The first thing that we got into talking about life in the Scriptures and looking at it was life natural, being in the body, the natural things of life, and natural birth, and God's creation, and the supernatural conception of the Lord Jesus Christ, naturally coming into a natural life, the Lord being incarnated into a natural body. We talked about that. And then after we finished with that, we got into the next one, which was life eternal. And we started finding out what the Bible says about life eternal. I'm glad that that topic's in the Scriptures, aren't you? If anything else about life that we don't have to regret at all, and that the Lord Jesus Christ come and finished the problem with it, is eternal life. Because the problem with mankind is that he had eternal life and he lost it. And in the garden, he went from living to dying. And it's passed down all the way to us now. And the problem in the Scriptures, and the last enemy to be destroyed, according to the Scriptures, is death. Is death. And people can say what they want to say and running to and fro and going here and there and just going all kind of crazy and saying racism is the problem, saying the economy is the problem, saying the Democrats are the problem, the Republicans. I mean, they're talking about everything. And they're missing the whole point. They don't even see it. Nobody's even brought it up. There ain't nobody talked about God. Not one peep. You can go over all the news you want to go over and go over everything there is. And there ain't nobody said, has anybody think God might be doing this? Nobody. Nobody cares. They want what they want. Boy, if you want to see the status of America, you send a little virus bug and watch what happens whenever everybody starts having to sacrifice. This country ain't no sacrificial country. It's the biggest selfish country there is in the world. These people are selfish as they can think. They don't think about nobody but themselves. They're not giving up no, they're not wearing no mask. Why, I was reading in the news the other day where a fella took the county right here in Tallahassee. He took the Tallahassee council, sued the county because he has to wear a mask. And you know that grown-ups in a courtroom fighting and wasting taxpayers' monies talking about whether a man has to wear a mask or not in the middle of an epidemic. That's some craziness, ain't it? Actually, that's mankind. The man at his best. That's man. That's man. The meaning of man. Man, the majestic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, we talked about life eternal, and I'm glad we got it, don't you? We talked about how the Bible defines life eternal and the relation, the Lord Jesus Christ's relationship to life eternal. And we went on down through there, and we talked about the future aspect and the present aspect of life eternal. And then we went into another type of life, and that's life spiritual. Life spiritual. We talked about the sources of life spiritual in the Scriptures. We talked about life spiritual as described in the Scriptures. We talked about the evidences of life spiritual. How do you tell that? How do you tell when there's life spiritually? How do you tell? We talked about that, and we looked at the Scriptures. The growing process of life, spiritual according to the Bible. We talked about that. And we went on down through there, and we ended and stopped at when we was talking about the growing process of life spiritual according to the Bible, and we went over some processes. And the last one we talked about was that it arrives at maturity, remember? And in spiritual growth. The Lord's will for you is to grow and not only arrive at adulthood and to grow in grace and remember and don't be deceived, but He also wants you to arrive at maturity. When it comes to your spiritual life, life's spiritual. You as a spiritual person and having spiritual life, if you're born again, which you should be if you're listening to this and understanding that you are, because anybody that's not born again doesn't understand the things of God because they're foolishness unto them, and neither can they know them because they're spiritually discerned. That's a great mystery in the Scriptures, and I'm glad of it because God has control of it. There's a language that Christians can speak, and it's called spirituality, that nobody else can get into. They can see the light pass them, but they can't understand it. And that's one thing that we have that the world doesn't have. We can talk to one another in the Spirit and know what we're talking about and rejoice in it. But the Lord wants you to arrive at maturity. You're to be growing. Now, the Lord helps you to grow in the measure that you're able to grow. He doesn't put more on you than He thinks that you can carry. And then sometimes He puts it on you to where your legs are driving you crazy because you're holding up so much. But the Lord's able to do it perfectly, and He does do it perfectly, even though it seems different than that sometimes, but we trust Him. Now, the one we're going to talk about today, still being in life spiritual, the next topic that we're going to talk about is some characteristics of life spiritual. Some characteristics of life spiritual. Well, the first thing is that it's imperishable. It cannot perish. Life spiritual cannot be destroyed. It can't be gotten rid of. No man, aren't you glad a man has not got control over spiritual things? Why, they fool around with these devils and these Ouija boards and all this sorcery and the magic and all that kind of stuff. And they fooling around with all them devils, and they got no more control. Them devils are laughing at them. They're messing with them so much. And they was doing the same thing to you before the Lord Jesus Christ saved you and you was baptized into God the Holy Spirit, baptized into the kingdom of God, the spiritual things. Some characteristics of life spiritual. Well, it's imperishable. What's imperishable mean? Means that it never ceases. It's not going to perish. It can't be destroyed. It can't die, and it can't decay. Your body's going to go back into the grave. And there's a lot of different religions and a lot of different cults out there that got all kind of kooky things that they think's going to happen after you die. Dying is dying, man. Death is death. Death is the one of the definitions I was reading about life. And they put it in there and they said, what's the opposite of death? Yeah, well, you got it, man. You hit the nail on the head. You sure did. It's imperishable. It's unceasing. Man cannot control spiritual life. He sure can't. We can't even control it. The Lord said, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. It didn't say we wouldn't go have lust. It said you wouldn't fulfill them. So the Lord gives us a certain amount of control of walking in the Spirit, and that is in sincerity and truth. When we're walking with the Lord and we're walking upright and we're walking and not trying to hide nothing from the Lord, we're sincere and we're confessing our sins, and God the Holy Spirit has the say-so in our lives. We're able to walk in the Spirit then, and able to enjoy it. And the more we mature, we can get a bit of, I don't want to call it control, but we can have more. The more mature you get to walk in life spiritual, the more you will allow God. It says be filled with the Spirit. That means being emptied of yourself. It's kind of like pouring water in a you got some oil in a jug, and you pour some water in there, they're going to automatically separate. And the more water that you put in there, or say the water's in there, and you pour the oil in there, and the more oil you pour in there, since God the Holy Ghost is a picture of oil, the more oil you pour in there, the more it pushes that water out. And if you fill it up with oil, then you're actually emptying it of the water. The more that we walk in the Spirit and we live life spiritual and we yield ourselves to the Word of God and to God the Holy Ghost and His will in our life, the more we empty ourselves of ourselves. You step on that flesh's neck and you say, he don't get to talk today. You don't get to talk today. I'm walking in the Spirit today. And it is a battle. But the more you mature, the more you learn how to do it, even though it's aggravating. This whole life is aggravation. I don't know how anybody could want to live forever in this body. Do you? Who in the world, but anybody but an idiot, would want to stay in this body? Good luck to you, man. You want to stay in this body. I wouldn't want to live to be 100 years old or 200 years old. I mean, what about Methuselah, 969 years old? Can you imagine? I mean, when it got down to Jacob, it was getting down to 100, and I think even got down to 90 and 80 and 70 years old. The Lord brought it down, and I'm glad he did. Paul didn't want to live no more in that body. But life spiritual, now, that's a whole different thing. Because it's imperishable. You can't destroy it. And aren't you glad that the Lord, the very first thing that he thought of to give us as a gift, as a down payment, as the earnest of the Spirit, he gave us God the Holy Ghost to dwell in us and to come in and to regenerate us and to baptize us into God the Holy Ghost, baptize us into the Spirit. Now, I ain't talking about this stuff that the charismatics talk about. This is a real spiritual baptism, being baptized into the family of God, into the spiritual things. Okay, and we get into that study some other time, some other place. But the Lord said in John chapter 11, he said, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? How about that? The Lord with his own mouth said that as far as it coming to life spiritual, that we're never going to die. That body's going to die. The Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die. Now, is the Bible contradicting itself? It said, Jesus said we ain't never going to die if we believe in him. The Bible says that it's appointed unto men once to die. Which one of them is true? Well, both of them are true. Your body's going back to the dirt. It's going to die. It's cursed. It's evil, the Bible says. Jesus said it with his own mouth. You being evil know how to give good gifts. He said that we're evil. Our bodies are. When you're born again, then your but your soul is circumcised away from your body, even though you're still in there. You are loosed from your body, and your body's going back to the dirt, and your soul's going to be with the Lord. And the Spirit's going back to the Lord as the one who gave it, the Bible says. But the Lord Jesus Christ said, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." I'm glad he said that, aren't you? That's what we have to look forward to. We don't have to worry about all this mess that's going on in the world. The Lord said, perilous times shall come. And they are here. They're here. You don't mess around and talk to people like you just mind your own business. The Bible says study to be quiet and to do your own business and to work with your own hands as we have commanded you. That's what you do. Some characteristics of life spiritual. Well, it's imperishable, and praise the Lord for that. Nobody's going to take it from us. The Lord said that, and he said nobody can destroy it. John chapter 3, verse 15, the Bible says, "And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life." Should not perish, but have eternal life. Life spiritual. Another characteristic of life spiritual, it's not only not able to be destroyed, and it's not going to die, and it's not going to decay, like your spirit doesn't decay like your body does. Your body, you're looking in the mirror every day. Besides being depressed, you're going to find out that body's getting older and it's decaying and it's starting to fall apart. But that spirit's not. It's been quickened and it's always going to be alive. The Lord said so. Forever. It's not only imperishable, but a characteristic of life spiritual is that it's transforming. It's transforming. It changes. It alters things. It converts things. In Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, the Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." By the renewing of your mind, the Bible says to be to be strong in the spirit of your mind, the Bible says. And I think I boogered that one up, but the scripture says for us to be strong and strengthened in the spirit of our mind. The spirit of our mind. Okay? So it's transforming. It changes. The one characteristic of life spiritual is that spiritual things change things. They make them like the Lord. They put away the old things and bring in the new things. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." And you know, if you've lived any time being a Christian and growing and growing and growing and reading and fighting and battling and suffering and for the Lord and for His name's sake, then you know that life spiritual is changing things in you. And you're going to love the person that the Lord's turning you into if you don't already. Another characteristic of life spiritual is that it's invisible. Life spiritual is invisible. It can't be seen. The Lord compared it to the wind. The wind comes and it blows and you can tell that it's there and that it's coming by, but you can't tell where it come from and you can't tell when it passes you where it goes. The Lord says that the Spirit is like that. It can't be seen. It's imperceptible by the eye. It's not prominent or noticeable. You can notice, the Bible says that if you're spiritual, that we can notice one another as far as being spiritual. You can notice it that way because our spirits bear witness with one another. But as far as saying there it is, that's not possible. It's invisible. The Lord said that we walk in the that we don't walk by sight. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 3 and 4 says, "For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." It's hid. "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." And you say, how do you explain that? I don't explain it. I just believe it. The Bible says that your life is hid. Spiritual things are invisible. Now, this world making all their movies and their imaginary things and all the imagination of their mind. Isn't it funny how the world is more interested in spiritual things when it comes to movies and making big hotshot movies and all the programs on your television and the movies and things like that. They want to bring out the spiritual things that they imagine to be spiritual, and nobody's ever seen them. They talk about UFOs and they talk about ghosts and talk about appearances and all these different kind of things, and get their little cameras on their little movie cameras on their phones and stuff, and put them and watch somebody dying to see if they can see a spirit come out of them. The doctors get them and put the people on a weight scale and while they're dying, and see if a spirit weighs anything. They're sending billion-dollar rockets out into space, and they claim that they're going out there to go see if they can take a population to Mars or something like that. But they're out there looking for spirits. They're out there looking for the invisible things, and they're not going to find them. God's in control of that stuff. That Hubble telescope, they got science all over the place. They're God science, and got all that mess all over the place talking about, we found this and we found that. You ain't found nothing. It's always been there. And if God didn't want you to see it, you wouldn't see it. But spiritual life, life spiritual, is invisible. It's invisible. The Lord said, "Walk in the Spirit, the invisible part, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Excuse me. Another characteristic of life spiritual is not only imperishable, not only transforming, it's invisible, but it abides forever. It abides forever. It's without interruption. It's not going to quit and then start again. Kind of like your some of your religions that are instead of the grace of God, the being born again, like the time that we're in right now, the gospel of the grace of God, the Pauline salvation, which is grace through faith alone in Jesus Christ. People talking about that you have to work and you have to do things like that, and that you can lose your salvation, then you can get it back, and then you can lose it, and then you can get it back. Well, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that life spiritual abides forever. You either have spiritual life or you do not have spiritual life. Period. It abides forever when you have it. The Bible says that the Holy Ghost comes in and he dwells in your body, comes in your body, and he abides there forever. He's the earnest of the inheritance, the down payment, and he's there forever. It's without interruption. It's always. It's eternally. It's everlasting. The Bible says in 1 John, let's see what the Bible says about it. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 16 and 17, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." And what's the will of God? The will of God is to listen to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And what's the Lord Jesus Christ say? "Ye must be born again." Born of what? Born of the Spirit. Isn't that neat? That's one thing about our Bibles. That Bible is so perfect. It is so perfect. God's Word is so perfect. Life eternal. Life eternal is imperishable. Life spiritual. It's transforming and it's invisible and it abides forever. And another characteristic of life spiritual is that it has enemies. You say, what? Yep. It has enemies. A characteristic of life spiritual is that there are enemies of life spiritual. Well, what's the Bible say about that? Well, the first thing of life spiritual, as far as, some characteristics, hold on just a minute. All right, let me get myself straightened out here. Some characteristics of life spiritual we're talking about, and you're writing this down, I'm going to mess you up here. But it's imperishable, it's transforming, it's invisible, and it abides forever. Now, those are the characteristics of life spiritual. Now, some enemies of life spiritual. That's what we're talking about now. What are some enemies of life spiritual? Well, the devil is an enemy of life spiritual. He is an enemy of life spiritual. Listen to what it says in 1 Peter chapter 5. Let's read through chapter 5, verse 6 through 10. Listen to this. It says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, what's an adversary? An adversary is an enemy. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. The Bible says he doesn't just want to come and tickle you or deceive you a little bit or this, that, and the other. The Bible says that the enemy, the devil, wants to devour you. And what's that mean? Well, I was standing out years ago and my mother and father's house burned down and I was there. And when it was out in the middle of the country and they only have volunteer fire departments out there, and there was one fellow that came out there and he was standing in the driveway with me and I said, can you put it out? Can you put it out? And he said, no. He said, the only thing we can do is take the bulldozer and go around and make a fire trench all the way around it so it don't burn the whole forest down. He said, but it's completely devoured. And it was. There was flames pouring out of the windows. It burned that house all the way to the ground, burnt the stove, it was so hot. It was built out of lighter pine. It burned it all the way flat to where there was nothing but just blocks in a square where the house used to be. And everything else was flat as ashes. That's how the devil thinks. The Bible says that the devil thinks about your life spiritual. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. It says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So the Lord's busy strengthening us and making us strong. But one thing that the enemy is doing, the Bible says, remember what he told the Lord when the Lord asked him what he's been doing? He said, I've been walking to and fro and up and down in it. And that was just before he attacked Job. But the Bible says that he's our enemy. Life spiritual has enemies, and the devil's the very first one on the top of the list. He's the enemy of life spiritual. Said, be sober and be vigilant because he wants to devour you. Listen to Ephesians chapter 6. And you know the verses, chapter 6, verse 11 through 18. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, what are wiles? Oh, remember that old cartoon used to be on, Wile E. Coyote? And he called himself a super genius. But the only thing he done was supported Acme. He'd always get a box in the mail. And the reason that he would order all those things was because he wanted to use some wiles against the Roadrunner. He tried to trick him. He would do this and do that. Well, that's what wiles are. It's trickery. It's deceit. It's the devil tries to trick you into things. Wiles. For we wrestle not, the Bible says, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. It said to put the whole armor of God on that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Remember that. Your battle is not with flesh and blood. Whatever has flesh and blood, that's not your real battle. Remember what we're talking about, life spiritual. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then it says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. We're not only supposed to watch out spiritually for ourselves, but to watch out for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ. You know, that's one thing that Christians have forgotten, is they're supposed to be taking care of one another and watching out for one another. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you to love this world. Nowhere. Show it to me. Matter of fact, I can find you a verse that says, love not the world. The Bible tells us to love one another. And that's not including the world. It says, love your enemy. But how do you love your enemy? You give him something to eat when he's hungry. You give him something to drink when he's thirsty. But you don't compromise with him. You don't buddy up with him and pow-pow with him. The body of Christ, the church, is supposed to be taking care of one another. Because it's spiritual. It is the kingdom of God. This world is not involved in the kingdom of God. Jesus said the kingdom of God is within you. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a working kingdom. It's not something that you can see. The kingdom of heaven is literal, tangible, and seeable. The kingdom of God is not. We'll get into that more in another study. But the enemies of life spiritual, you better believe there's enemies. The devil is an enemy of life spiritual. Now, contrary to what some may think, even though the devil's known as a red dragon in the Scriptures, in Revelation chapter 13 and verse 3, let me read that to you. It says, and I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And then it says in Revelation 20 and verse 2, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. You know, even though some think contrary to what some may think, even the devil's known as a red dragon in the scriptures, among other things, and he has names. The devil is a spirit. He's a spirit. As God is a spirit, so the devil's a spirit. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 2, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. And because he is a spirit, he must be dealt with spiritually. There's four kinds of spirits. There's God's spirit, there's the devil's spirit, there's the spirit of animals, or the beasts, and the man's spirit. And that's not all. The devil is an enemy of life spiritual. What else? The world. The world is an enemy of life spiritual. The world is not spiritual, even though they like to talk about spiritual things that they think are spiritual. They like to say spirit here and oh, the spirit there and all this, and got absolutely no idea what they're talking about when it comes to spiritual things. All they know is that they try to bring into sight spiritual things and impress one another. And ain't none of it true. But it's funny how they know that the devil is involved in spiritual things. They know that all the ungodliness and all the themes of all the movies is always that the good guy is always getting something wrong with him and he has to go fight something spiritual and defeat it and he has the girl and blah-bitty, blah-bitty, blah. The world is an enemy of life spiritual. The Bible says in James, listen to this, chapter 4, verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Don't sound like the Lord thinks much of the world, does he? Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2, you know that verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible commands us right there to not be conformed to this world. Don't be like it. Don't look like it. Don't act like it. And don't pile up with it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 12, the Bible says, now we have received not the spirit of the world. So there is a spirit of the world. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given unto us of God. Something that the world can't find out. They can't find out the things of God and the spiritual things of God and the things that are freely given to us that are born of the Spirit. Capital S. God the Holy Ghost. The world is an enemy of life spiritual. We're talking about life. Life. The world is an enemy of life spiritual. James chapter 1 verse 27 says, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows. You say that you're a Christian? Then your life ought to, whether it's exactly like what the Scripture's talking about here, it ought to at least have some parts of what this verse is talking about in it. You say you're a Christian? Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. And to keep himself unspotted from the world. Let me get you to do something. Take your pointing finger on your right hand and hold it out, just like you're pointing at somebody and the rest of it balled up. You got it? All right, now right with your other finger, take and just barely touch the other end of that finger with that finger right there and touch it. Okay. Now, take that finger and reach down on something solid like your desk or your book or whatever and just reach down and touch it and then take your finger right off. You know what that is? That's a spot. That's a spot. What's the Bible say? Unspotted from the world. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father's this: to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Not even a spot. Well, Brother Thurman, take it to the Lord. I'm telling you what the Bible says. Unspotted from the world. The world is an enemy of life's spiritual, brother, sister. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16, the Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. How could Jesus make it any plainer? If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. It didn't say he wasn't saved. It said the love of the Father is not in him. You either love the world or you love God, one or the other, whether you're saved or not. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this. All right, we read that. Now, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. If you remember these things, when it comes to your life, spiritual, they'll help you. It'll strengthen you, and you will have joy, and you will have peace, and you will bear the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ and shine as a light in the world. It says, ye are children of light, walk as children of light. The world is an enemy of life spiritual. 2 Peter chapter, listen to this. 2 Peter, let me see if I can find it here. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. It says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Interesting word that the Bible uses when it comes to the power of sin. Escaped. The Bible uses that word also in reference to a man escaping from a whorish woman. Whoso shall escape from her pleaseth the Lord. Excuse me. Talking about her ways and how her hands are like bands and she can tie you up and hold you and pin you and get you to where you can't move like a spider does his victim. But this particular one here, the Bible talking about life spiritual, it says, whereby are given to us great and precious promises. Why would you want to have anything to do with the world and all that stinking corrupted pretty painted. All that stuff is just painted over. It's like a piece of junk in a junkyard that somebody took out. It's all rusted and decaying and nasty and then paint it with some paint and put it out there for sale. And somebody comes along and says, "Woo, that's a pretty paint job. That must be something." And underneath all that facade and all that vanity. That's why women said it vanities. They put on the vanity, the vain face. And then what happens? When they come back in the evening after they're done with all the whatever they're doing, they sit down and they take the face off. It's vanity. The same face is under there. And it's the same face. That's why it's called a vanity. But it says, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. That's the life that we want. Spiritual. Divine nature. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. when I was running that troubled men's ministry up there, and I'd tell those guys when they'd come in, and I'm talking about some troubled fellas that the devil just took out and beat to death, man. And I'd be talking to them, and I'd tell them, listen, you know, the Lord has done you a favor. He got you out of the world, and he got you completely out of the world and got you away from everything that could possibly tempt you, that could possibly bring you down. Because once you're caught up by the devil, there's too much temptation in this world. You're not going to walk away from the devil. You've got to be rescued from him, or you've got to escape from him. Did you hear what I said? The world is an enemy of life, spiritual, brothers and sisters. Now, remember one thing the devil tried to tempt the Son of God with was all the kingdoms of the world. Remember that? One thing that the devil tried to tempt the Son of God with was the world, to give him the kingdoms of the world. That was in Matthew, remember? Matthew chapter 4, verse 10. Listen. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then saith Jesus unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Life spiritual. Enemies of life spiritual. One is the devil. Another one is the world. And another enemy of life spiritual is the flesh. The flesh. That's that thing you're carrying around. That body you're carrying around. When we talk about, the Bible talks about the flesh, it's talking about that body. It's talking about that body. The flesh is an enemy of life spiritual. Listen to what the Bible says in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16 through 21. Listen to this. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that you would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Now if you want to know what the flesh, if you want to identify the flesh, here's what the Bible says that the works of the flesh are. I mean, you point your finger and you say, that's of the flesh. Here they are. Adultery. Fornication. Uncleanness. Lasciviousness. That's a big one in the world today. Lasciviousness is just uncontrolled sexual, just out of control sexual lust. Just can't control it. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Turn on your news. You can get every one of them right now. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, it's there. Revelings. Revelings means that you just you take it to the limits. The Germans describe that word revelings as drinking it down to the last drop. Envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. Of the which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that also that they which do such things cannot inherit the kingdom of God. And that ain't got nothing to do. It ain't talking about going to heaven or going to hell. The kingdom of God is within you. It's spiritual things. It's life spiritual. And he's talking to Christians. He said, but if you be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now, the works of the flesh... And then he goes down through there and mentions all those things. And he says, and those that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot have or walk with life spiritually if you're walking in the flesh. You say, well, how do I know if I'm walking in the flesh? Well, do you have any of those things that we just went over in your life? Do you envy? Are you a murderer? Jesus said that if you kill somebody in your mind and in your heart, you're a murderer. Drunkenness, revelings, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, idolatry, witchcraft. You got any of that stuff in your life? It's fleshy. It's not life spiritual. And the Lord says it's hindering you, it's an enemy, and it hinders you from learning the things of the kingdom of God, the spiritual things. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 26:41, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3, the Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. It's by God's grace that we've been pulled out of it, and it's by God's grace that we stay out of it. Because if you'd done what you wanted to do and what your flesh wanted to do, you'd be right dead back up in the middle of all that garbage we just talked about. And so would I. I thank the Lord every day for keeping me from destroying myself in the past and in the present. If the Lord all of a sudden walked away from you, you would self-destruct. That's what the world's doing. Lord took his hand. He said, that's enough. He took his hand of protection off America, and look what's going on. And then ain't been but full 5-6 months. And all this is going on. You can imagine what this world's going to be like in another year. I ain't worried about it. I'm going to stay right in God's Word, and ain't nothing going to change in my mind or my heart. I'm going to walk around with righteousness, peace, and joy. Ain't you? The scriptures use the words flesh and body. The majority of the time it's referring to the same thing in the Bible. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 28 through 30, listen to this. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Did you get that? It used the word bodies and the word flesh as the same thing it was talking about, you see. So a lot of times, the majority of the times, the Bible is referring to the same thing. Now, even the word carnal is most of the time referring to the same thing also. Chili con carne, with flesh, carnal. The word referring to the body or flesh or lustful appetites and passions of it. Romans chapter 8, let me read that to you. And let's see, Romans chapter 8 and verse 5 through 14. Listen to this. It's talking about carnal and fleshly and body. It says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And when it says mind the things, that means use their minds for the things. They mind it. They think about it. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally, see the carnally there, carnally, and he used flesh in the last verse, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's the enemy of God. For it's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. There's no possible way for a fleshly mind to be in fellowship with God, because it's the enemy of God. It is the Adamic nature. It's the fallen man. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. It's impossible. It's not possible. The flesh cannot please God. And the Lord said no flesh is ever going to stand before Him. Glory. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit, capital S, God the Holy Ghost, of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he's none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body, now see, there's body. Body, flesh, carnal, all of it together. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin. But the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. Now, it also says, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Pretty simple, isn't it? Pretty simple and pretty understandable. And very fair. And very honest. And in the Lord, wonderful. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 3 says, for ye are yet carnal. This is Paul chewing out the Corinthians and telling them, you know, that they're acting like babies. They're carnal. They're still in the flesh. You haven't grown in the Spirit any. It says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? In other words, in the flesh. Now, what the Bible's talking about is the vessel that you live in that is going to return to the dust one day, and the Lord's going to raise it up, raise it back up and give it back to you in a perfect state. It says, like unto His glorious body, talking about the Lord Jesus Christ's resurrected body. He's going to raise that body back up, give it back to you in a perfect state, a perfect, perfect state. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21 says, for our conversation is in heaven, from which also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. In case you want to go in there and look at yourself in the mirror some more and see how pretty you are, the Bible says that your body is vile. That's why it said cover it up. The only place your body is supposed to be recognized or appreciated is by the marriage bed. Who shall change your vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able also to subdue all things unto Himself. He's going to do it, and God's going to be the one that does it. The Lord's going to change that body. Can you believe it? I mean, not can you believe it, but can you wait for it? Oh, I can't wait to get my new body. This thing that I'm carrying around right now ain't nothing but a burden to me. I don't know about you. You can tell all the lies you want to, but mine ain't nothing but a burden. They can go out there. The Bible says bodily exercise profiteth little. It didn't say it didn't profit. It says it profits little. You can go out there and run 100 laps a day, and I'm not encouraging you not to exercise, and I'm not encouraging you to. It doesn't matter. It's going back to the dirt. the Bible says, walk in the Spirit, live life spiritual. There's people that live better lives in a wheelchair that their body and their quad, I know a fella right now that can't move his legs or his arms. He can only move the end of his fingers to turn, to move a knob to run his wheelchair around and to talk to his computer and stuff like that. He's more spiritual than a million well-bodied, can run 500 lap, blobbity, blobbity, blob. That flesh, people, that's what this world is all about, is lusting after the lust of the flesh. They just going out and show you women running around, look like you're just undressed as you can be. Shame on you. Cover yourself. You men, too. Cover yourself. It's no longer that new body that the Lord's going to give us. It'll no longer be cursed and sinful. It's going to be a holy body that the Lord's going to give us, righteous like His glorious body. But while we're still in this body, and it remains, remember that your body remains the enemy of life spiritual. Your body does not want to do anything that the Spirit wants to do. Nothing. It don't want to go to church. It don't want to read that Bible. It don't want to get up and pray. Your body is going to resist you in everything having to do with the Spirit, and you're going to have to fight it. You say, "Well, I don't like to fight all the time." I don't either. But it's there. You're going to fight on one side or the other. You can either fight for the Lord and fight the things that the Lord says the enemy of the Spirit, or either you can just let go of the Lord and go on back into the world and fight all the stinking drugs and the dope and all the wicked people and the thieving and the lying and the deceiving and all that kind of garbage and be miserable as you can be there and not have any victory. You're going to fight on one side or the other. The Bible says fight the good fight of faith. And as soon as you make your mind up that you're just going to go all the way to the end for the Lord, and Lord, I'm here, I'm not going anywhere, use me, then things will start happening. But while we're still in it, in this body, it remains the enemy of life, spiritual, and there's nothing good in it. The Bible says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, it says in verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, and what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." You see, Paul had the same problem you got, and I got. "For the good that I would do not, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now, if I do that which I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Remember, Jesus said, if ye be an evil, well, Paul just backed that up. He said, "I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me." Paul just verified what the Lord Jesus Christ said, that you're evil. Your flesh is evil. You're evil. Nobody likes admitting that. And that's okay. If you won't lie to yourself. "For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members." What's your members? Your hands, your feet, your body. I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. As long as you got that body, you got an enemy. And it's an enemy of life spiritual. There's nothing good in it. Don't kid yourself. So, what is life? Can you define it yet? Before a man can know and understand what life is, he first has to know what he is. Do you know what you are? Some say you're a descendant of a monkey man. And some of you might look like it. I'm talking about myself, of course. Don't get mad with me. Some say that you came from a rock. Did you come from a rock? Does the Bible speak the same way about an animal's life that it does concern a man's life? Do animals go to hell? Do animals sin? Do animals talk to God? Where'd you come from? You had to come from somewhere. You are. Talking about life. Life's a funny thing, ain't it? Okay, well, we're going to wind it up right there. And good study, huh? Life's spiritual. Let me give you these scriptures right quick. You ready? Here we go. First one was John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26. John chapter 3, verse 15. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16 and 17. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 through 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11 and 12. Romans chapter 13, verse 3. Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2. James chapter 4, verse 4. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. James chapter 1, verse 27. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15 and 16. 2 Peter chapter 1, 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 8 through 10. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 through 21. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 28 through 30. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 through 14. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. And our last verse for today is Romans chapter 7, verse 14 through 25. Life spiritual. Life spiritual. Well, brothers and sisters, thank you. And I appreciate you bearing with this recording. A little lengthy, but we got it all in today and talked about life spiritual. And not necessarily trying to rush it, but just enjoying God's Word. And seeing some truth. And whatever the Holy Ghost has talked to you about, just clear it up with Him or praise Him for it or whatever it is, whatever the Lord has said to you today. Don't just let it drift away. Consult the Lord about it and find out and talk with Him about it. That's what this is all about. God the Holy Ghost teaches us and He changes us. He shows us God's Word and He bears witness in our minds and in our hearts about the things, the truths that we hear when we're studying, and go to him and talk to him about it and see what he wants you to do about it. Either change it or either multiply it, or maybe he was bragging on you and blessing you and giving you joy about, hey, you see, you are serving the Lord. Next, on the next recording, we're going to leave life spiritual. I want to go into another part of life and talk about the triumphant Christian. Life, the triumphant Christian. All kinds of different life in the Scripture, isn't there? What is life? Okay. Well, the Lord bless you and thank you for listening. And I really appreciate you. I appreciate all my brothers and sisters that discipline themselves to give glory to our wonderful Lord. The Lord bless you, and you have a wonderful rest of your day or afternoon or whatever it is. And talk to you on the next recording, okay? It's Brother Thurman. Bye-bye.